Wonderful. Good afternoon, everyone. Again, as she said, my name is Jackie Lawler. I'm the epidemiologist for Orange County Health Department in New York. And just before we get started, I'll just let you know I have nothing to disclose today. Just a little bit of background about where we are. Orange County, New York is about an hour north of New York City. It's in the Hudson Valley region. We have approximately 375,000 residents in Orange County, and of those, about 60,600 of them are students within our 18 school districts in the county. I want to talk to you about Healthy Orange, and Healthy Orange is located in our Division of Community Health Outreach. It's basically our umbrella organization for all the county-funded programs that deal with chronic disease prevention. It was developed in 2006, and we have three main priorities. We want to take a look at improving the nutrition of our residents, promoting a tobacco-free lifestyle, and increasing the physical activity of our residents as well. And as you all well know, childhood obesity and chronic disease is a national priority. Unfortunately, at the county level and some of the smaller counties, there aren't a lot of data resources for us to take a look at for our schools. And so Orange County really wanted to take a look at what we could do to address that issue. So we developed a survey, and we used the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance Survey. It surveys high schools in a sample across the country in 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders every 2 years, similar to what they do with the adults in the behavioral surveillance system for them as well. And it monitors 6 types of health risk behaviors that contribute to leading causes of death and disability among our youth. They're listed down here: tobacco use, dietary behaviors, physical activity, alcohol and drug use, sexual behaviors, and behaviors leading to unintentional injury and violence. The CDC survey is over 80 questions. However, for our survey in Orange County, we call it our Healthy Orange Survey, we really wanted to focus on the three priorities of Healthy Orange, again listed here as tobacco use, physical activity, and dietary behaviors, so we could use the data and use with our programs to address some of those issues. We created the survey and piloted it in multiple settings. We first worked with some of our Healthy Orange program leaders and piloted the survey with them and asked for questions. We did it in one classroom in one of the schools that eventually participated with us, and in a smaller school, the entire high school participated with us as well. And we created the survey in a program called Expert Scan. This was already something that the County Health Department had purchased, so it was nothing that we had to use grant funds for and needed extra money to do. And what it does is it allows for individualized results for each of the schools. They have a personal identifier on the bottom of the survey. So we create the scannable survey with individualized codes, and we don't have to manually enter the data. We can scan the survey in, and it pops up in the database for us. It also is able to tally the results for ourselves, which makes it a really great program. So as I mentioned before, our survey was significantly shorter because of CDC's survey. We only really uses validated questions that they had already used, again, limited resources at a local health department. And what we did was we distributed the surveys during one class period. We allowed our schools that were participating in the survey to choose which class period that they would work with. It also helped them to want to participate in the survey. The schools don't have a lot of time to do so. And so from there, when we got the surveys back, they were collected, they were scanned, they were analyzed, and each school district got their own report. In addition to that, we compiled the data for the county as itself and reported that out in our health assessment that was also going on that year. So what are our results? We completed this in 11 out of the 15 high schools in Orange County, and of those, we got a response rate of about 65% of the 11 schools that participated with us, which meant that it was over 10,000 students that were able to participate. Because the Orange County Health Department has one epidemiologist and one public health educator that was working on this project, in addition to communicable disease and anything else that you have to do at a local health department, we didn't have time to really develop a sampling plan, so it was a convenient sample that we used, but a very large sample for that. each of the school-specific programs reports were sent to the superintendents. And really, the point of all of this is to really get data to help target where the pocket problems in our school. One of the things that we always say, data are local. It's always local. They want to know the zip code. They want to know even further, even at the county, which is part of the reason why we did this. We didn't want just state numbers. We wanted local data and how we could help these individual students that might have different identified issues in each of the school districts. So some of the interesting things that we found was that our tobacco use as a county as a whole, again, these are just county results, were lower use than in New York State and national average. Our students had said that only about 10% of them either use every day or use some days, were compared to about 16% nationally and 11% in New York State. I think one of our most concerning results was the next one, where we found that 50% of our students were using computers or the internet or social media more than 3 hours per day. Now, this was compared to 40% at the state and national levels, and this is outside of some of TV use. So this is additional screen time that they might be having. And we were disappointed to find that only a small percentage of our students were really meeting recommended guidelines for fruit, vegetable, and daily breakfast consumption. Only about 43% were eating breakfast every single day. Only 4% were getting the recommended vegetables per day, compared to about 15% nationally. One of our, I guess, bright spots was our physical activity. We did exceed both state and national rates for recommended daily physical activity of 60 minutes per day, but still it's only at 40%, so we do have a ways to go. Just wanted to mention some limitations of the surveys. Any program that you do, any survey that you do, there will be some limitations. The data, as I mentioned before, is a convenient sample. It was based off of 11 schools that did participate with us, and it was administered the day that any students who might have been absent or who dropped out were not able to complete the survey. And so it might have also underreported what we would call maybe illegal type behavior. We asked them about cigarette use. You are talking about 9th, 10th, 11th, and even some 12th graders who are under the age of 18. We asked them about what they might be purchasing, some of their cigarettes. They may underreport what they're actually doing. And as I had mentioned before, only 4 high schools chose not to participate. So some of our follow-up, we did complete focus groups with some of the students and staff after the survey was completed to try to help improve not only some of the administration, but maybe some of the survey questions where there are some issues that we didn't address in the piloting phase. They did identify e-cigarette use as one of the things that they would really like to see. They thought it was an issue for their particular school, so it's something that we will address the next time around. And as I mentioned before, all data are local, and so we gave individualized count and some county data presentations to certain health and wellness committees that asked for it in each of the schools. All the school superintendents were presented their information. We worked with the County Youth Bureau and some of the student groups as well. And what we did to share some of our results were in a local newspaper to try to engage the students and public and parents with what we were really doing at the health department. I want to share with you some of our successful strategies. Again, having limited resources at a local health department, we really needed to use validated questions. It helped us expedite survey creation and really helped us expedite the process in general. And it's really important to help utilize the partnerships you might already have. We work with the schools in the chronic disease prevention program and our Healthy Orange program all the time, to using them to get to our superintendents as well to really help garner the support. You need support from the top down. And I think one of the most successful things we did was to identify a champion with each of the schools. There's a lot of logistics when it comes to trying to get a paper survey in high schools. And so you really need that one person within that school district that's willing to go the extra mile to talk to the principal, to really go and do it for you if you physically cannot be there. I would also think that sharing the results with the parents through some sort of school communication, newspaper, that really helps garner support too. Sometimes they don't know what's going on in the school and they appreciate that information. As with everything, there are barriers. We all know that students and teachers particularly have very minimal time to get through their classroom instruction, let alone anything else that they might have. So what we did was gave the school districts the flexibility to choose when they would like to administer the survey. It helped them and it helped us. And at the same time, too, our schools are also being asked to complete multiple surveys. It's not just about healthy behaviors. They also want to know about alcohol and drug use, and they want to know all sorts of different things that might be going out on with the students outside of the core curriculum. And so what we've done now is we've met with some of our local government groups, some of our mental health work, and now what we're doing is working out one complete survey that they can do every 2 years, and the school superintendent seemed to be on board with that. So they know that one day they're going to take one class period to complete this, and it's only going to be every 2 years, which really helps garner the support with them. There are some time constraints when you're using a paper survey, and there are two of you to do 10,600 surveys and making sure that you know, sometimes they don't bubble in the correct answer, and making sure you're getting really valid results. So what we did was we worked with some local students to help us with the process. You might also want to consider using an online survey, which is what we might be doing next time around now that we have some more local groups and mental health, some more funding streams coming through. So we might be able to do it online, which again will get rid of the need for paper surveys and get rid of the need of the scanning process. Of course, in the future, and this is ongoing work, we would like to work with the school district to develop collaborative programming to target some of the unhealthy behaviors that we did identify. That is the point of all of this, to begin with, to make our students more healthy. And we would, and I do think we will, given the talks that we've had with some of the superintendents already, that we'll get every high school in Orange County to participate next year. That makes it a really robust survey, and it's really great to get that support from the superintendents and be able to share that results with everybody. And I'm hoping that every 2 years will also coincide with the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance Survey so we can compare our results to national and state trends. It's also the benefit of using validated questions and using the same questions that CDC is already using so you know you can compare, which is really nice. So we're hoping that the next survey will be distributed the following fall. And I'll take any questions. Sure. So what we did was basically we did a spread. So twice a year what we do is something called a healthy connection with our local newspaper, and it's basically an insert to the newspaper that gets distributed to about 147,000 households in the county. And so it was a two-page spread that we were able to give all of the results for. So you know, not like a particular small article in the paper, but at least then when people open the paper, they can see everything and not just what the paper chose to report about it. So that was the benefit. That's a great question. We did some research before we did this, and it looked like Monroe County up in upstate New York, where Rochester is located, had done something a little bit similar to this, but no other county in the Hudson Valley has, and we haven't really found anybody else that has either. It would be nice to share some stories, some success, some barriers where you could, you know, have that interaction with them to see if there was anything done, but we haven't been able to find that yet. But what's one of the exciting things that, you know, maybe we can then foster this with other communities going forward? Yeah, so we met with a lot of the superintendents face-to-face, and what we did, we actually presented some of the research, and I think it was really helpful, too, that our commissioner of health was on board, and so at the time, she really had that foothold in the community, and they really respected her. So when she talked to them and asked them for their support, I think that really helped with us, and I think also if you present some of the benefits, what we'll have for them. You know, if we can collect this data, you can use it to get grants for this and show them what the benefit would be for them to participate in the survey. You need to show them that it's not just something that it's for us, but for the community. We We actually did not address anything with sexual behaviors, mostly because we don't do any programming with it, so we didn't want to ask questions that we couldn't offer anything in exchange.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.